Well, first of all, I've accepted the book of the law. I don't know if you've heard of Aleister Crowley. And he had direct voice communication in 1904 and wrote everything down, and this is the book of the law. And the book of the law says that the aeons are changing, the old gods are dying away, and the new gods are taking over. So my concept of God is the God that's going to rule the next 2,000 years.
It's my prayer that you've enjoyed this time in Bible study. However, there is an issue that must be raised. We say we believe these things because they come to us from the Bible. But who's to say that the Bible is true? Who's to say that it has any more authority than any other book? In fact, we can't really address this issue of culture war without addressing the issue of the authority and the authenticity of the Bible. Over the course of this past week, you've looked at several passages that address this issue head on. Over the course of our time today, we'll look even further and even deeper in order to answer that question, why should we believe the Bible? The Washington Monument, one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of America, stands here as a memorial to our first president, George Washington, a great man, a great leader, a great statesman. Ironically, though, there's no one alive today who was around when George Washington was president. So we can't actually go to these eyewitnesses to verify the fact that he was our first president. But nobody doubts it. Why? Because we have documentation and we have corroborating evidence. These documents were written by men, by frail, fragile, fallible human beings. But we don't question them, because when we look at the archaeological evidence that we have, and when we look at the documentation that we have, they line up. They tell the same story. So we believe it. My question is, why don't we allow that same set of criteria to be allowed to the Bible? Because when we talk about the scripture, the first thing people want to say is it's just a book that was written down by men. So is everything that we have about George Washington. But we can line up the scripture with those same criteria. And when we realize that the Bible was written down in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, on three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, it was written down by some 40 different authors, most of whom never knew one another. It was written down over a period of 1,500 years. And they all tell the same story, that there is a God who has revealed himself, and he desires to redeem mankind. The story fits the evidence, and we can trust what the Bible says as true. Why should we have one set of criteria for George Washington and another set of criteria for the Bible? There is no shortage of opinion when it comes to the Bible. When it comes to where the Bible came from and what the Bible contains, what the Bible teaches, what the Bible does not teach, no shortage of opinions. We can't talk about this culture war and this battle over the existence of truth without addressing the issue of the Bible, whether or not it's true, whether or not it's valid. What separates the Bible from other so-called holy books? Perhaps you've heard it stated this way. You have your holy book and other people have their holy books. Who are you to say that you're right and someone else is wrong? Because the fact of the matter is, you probably just believe your holy book because that's the way you were raised. Had you been raised in another culture, had you been raised with another set of documents, you would have believed that those contained the truth. Well, I want to share with you tonight why I choose to believe the Bible. And it is a choice. I choose to believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible because it's the way I was raised. I wasn't. I was not raised to believe the Bible. The most significant spiritual influence in my life growing up was my mother's faith, as I watched her day after day after day kneel before Gohanzen and pray to the Buddha on the inside of it. I didn't grow up going to church. First time somebody presented the gospel to me, I was a freshman in college. I don't choose to believe the Bible because it was the way that I was raised. I don't necessarily choose to believe the Bible just because of my own personal experiences. And unfortunately, that's the trap into which many of us have fallen. We live in this age of experience. And because we live in this age of experience, we believe that the most authoritative argument that we can make about the validity of the Bible is, well, I tried it and it worked for me. That sounds real good until you meet a Muslim who says the same thing about Quran. And if we buy your logic that the Bible is true because it worked for you, then you would also have to accept Quran if there's a Muslim out there who can make the same statement emphatically. I believe it because it worked for me. And any other religious book, be very careful if that's your means of argumentation for the authenticity of the Bible. This is a crucial area. It is important that we understand this area. And we are becoming weaker and weaker and weaker as it relates to our understanding of the Bible and our ability to defend our belief in it. And I don't just mean this generation. I don't just mean young people. Just think with me for a moment. Early on, before the Reformation, the central piece of furniture in a church would have been the table where the Lord's Supper was served, where the Eucharist was served, because that would have been considered the central act of worship. After the Reformation, the central piece of furniture in the church is a pulpit. And I mean, they went all out. They made them huge. Some of them you had to climb up into in order to proclaim God's word. However, modern culture, the central piece of furniture in the modern church is not a piece of furniture at all. It's a stage. Because what's central to us is performance, not the word of God. Tonight I want you to open with me to the New Testament book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want us to look, beginning at verse 16, at the last section of 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to answer that question for you. I want to tell you why I choose to believe the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. I like that. Why I choose to believe the Bible. I choose to believe the Bible because the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents. Look there at that first verse. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We did not follow cleverly devised tales. In other words, this is not mythology. That's not what we're teaching here. That's not what we're following here. Peter says, contrary to what some may argue, we are not making these statements to you. We are not proclaiming these truths to you because someone passed them down to us. These are historical events. And when they are recorded on reliable historical documents. Turn with me to the left, just for a moment, if you will, in order to see what I'm talking about. Look at Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke was a man of science. He's a historian and a physician. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as those who were from the beginning eyewitnesses and servants of the word have handed them down to us, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning. Does that sound like blind faith? Absolutely not. Does that sound like I believe it because it was the way I was raised? Absolutely not. This is a historian who says, I investigated everything carefully from the beginning. If I can just put a footnote here. I don't know where we got this idea from in the church, this anti-intellectualism that says that God hates our minds and that head knowledge is a bad thing. Folks, your mind is the only knower you have, and God does not despise your mind. He gave it to you and intends for you to use it. Investigated everything carefully from the beginning to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. This man is interested in the exact truth. This man is interested in history and in accuracy. These are not myths and fairy tales and legends. We have a reliable collection of historical documents. Ever since I came to faith in Christ, I've had great passion for the Word of God. Because I understand that it's the Word of God, that God has revealed Himself and has protected and provided and preserved that revelation in the Bible. And so I love the Word of God. You know, it always amazes me when people talk about making the Bible relevant. As far as I'm concerned, there is nothing more relevant than the fact that God has spoken. As you go to your discussion groups, don't be afraid of the hard questions. This is a difficult subject, and it's one that we have to come to grips with if we are going to effectively respond in the marketplace of ideas. People want to know why they should trust the Bible, and we have to be able to answer that question, and we have to be able to do it in a winsome and effective manner.